Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
From the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. Oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Sorry I stepped on your toes back there. It slipped my mind. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy.
have mercy on us and on the entire world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. And that comes from St. Faustina's diary at page 950. St. Faustina,
pray for us.
Pope St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So why don't we go ahead and do the daily update?
Okay, well, I know that we don't have a lot of the details, but we do have Terry coming up at Thursday at 6:30 Eastern Time. We still don't know the details of what his show is going to be. And then Friday at 7 a.m., Ken Litchfield is going to have a special guest on his program. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, I'm going to be on Ken's program on Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, and we're going to talk about St. Faustina and the Divine Mercy messages and the importance of recognizing and seeking God's Divine Mercy, especially during this time of Lent.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really interesting show, guys, so you want to listen into that one.
Oh, I'll definitely be catching that, because that's a very important thing for our time, because the Divine Mercy was approved by St. Pope John Paul II, and Divine Mercy Saturday, or Divine Mercy Sunday, which I believe this year is the 8th, if I'm correct, or the 7th, either the 7th or the 8th of April, if you meet the conditions for the Divine Mercy, folks, this is pretty extraordinary. It's full remission of sin and punishment. So it's like a clean slate.
And that's April 7th, by the way, Sunday after Easter Sunday.
Right, which, as we remember, is the Sunday that Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room and walked through the closed door and met Doubting Thomas. That was the first Divine Mercy Sunday, I guess. But, you're just foolish if you don't take advantage of the Divine Mercy. Listen, folks, if you fulfill the Divine Mercy, which is, I mean, there's a few very simple conditions. You have to pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. You have to go to Mass, which you're going to be going to Mass on Sunday anyway. Receive communion and go to confession. I think it's within 8 days before, 8 days after, I believe. And folks, if you were to die walking out of the church, you walk out of the church and you get struck by lightning, you go straight to heaven. No time in purgatory.
Yeah, that's the remission of all sins. And starting on Good Friday, we're going to expand the show to 45 minutes, so that we can pray the Divine Mercy Novena.
Fantastic.
And that has a lot of indulgences as well.
Yeah. And folks, listen, if you have someone in your life who is, who is dying, pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet by that person. Jesus made some extraordinary promises about the Divine Mercy Chaplet, about that you will stand between the Father and that person as Savior rather than as Judge. That's sure where I want him standing when it comes time for me to leave this world.
Yeah, because, you know, while if you make purgatory, heaven's a done deal, if you can avoid purgatory, what a deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I know I'm going to be the last one out of purgatory. When I come out, God's going to say, "Hey, Pettis, shut the lights. I don't own Con Ed."
Well, I'm trying not to go to purgatory. Why would you go there if you don't have to? I'm trying not to go.
Heaven is my goal.
Yeah. Now, you know, we'll see if I actually make the goal, but that's my goal. I'm shooting for heaven. So, we also got some really big news today as far as who is going to be a guest on our show during the month of April. And we haven't nailed down exactly the date yet, but during the month of April, we are going to have world-class apologist Jesse Romero. To add to the list of world-class apologists that we've had. It's a growing list from Scott Hahn and Carl Keating and Harold Burke-Sivers and Steve Ray, and the list keeps growing, and now we're going to add Jesse Romero, and we're honored to have Mr. Romero on. It's going to be a great program.
I'm not going to miss that. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd love to be in on that act.
Yeah, well, when I get more details, I'll make that happen. When I get more details as to what the day is going to be and all that. So I also have a few more details about the Israel trip. So, kind of as it pertains to the four persons. So, I'm going to be leaving on late Wednesday. So, like 11:30 at night. So, what I'm going to do is we're going to have a Tuesday evening show, which is going to be the preview show. And then we'll have a Wednesday morning show. I'm going to be at a hotel in Dulles, Virginia. We'll have a Wednesday morning show prior to me taking off. And then sometime Thursday night, I'll do the first show from Israel. And we haven't settle down exactly when that's going to be, but from my hotel room in Israel, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, will be the first show. So those will be the first shows that we know that are going to be associated with the Israel trip. We're going to have the Tuesday show, which is the preview show, the Wednesday show, which is the kickoff show the day of the trip, and the Thursday show overlooking the Sea of Galilee. From Israel. So that's just a little update of what I know now. And that's about 8 months from now. It's going to be exciting.
And you're going to bring me a rosary with water from the Jordan River in it.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you a rosary that is touched to all 15 of the locations that we go to. So it's not only going to be touched to the Jordan River, but it's going to be touched to the Sea of Galilee, to the Mount of Olives, to Capernaum, to the Mount of Transfiguration, to the tomb, to the site of the crucifixion, the place where Jesus was born, the multiplication of the fish and loaves, where the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, and on and on and on and on. It's going to be touched to all of those sites, and wow, can you imagine the graces that are going to be contained in that rosary?
Oh, I, I couldn't even begin to fathom it. I mean, there are going to be more graces attached to that rosary than I'm ever going to know.
And we're going to...
It makes me think of Our Lady of Grace, where there are so many of the rays coming from her hand that miss the earth, and that represents the graces that we don't even fathom exist.
Yeah. You know, it's the most difficult prophecy of all from the prophecies of... The prophecies of Fatima, the most difficult prophecy of all for me is the prophecy that many souls will go to hell simply because they have no one to pray for them. Well, we use that rosary with all those graces to pray for a lot of people, and a lot of people that have no one else praying for them. I think it's very, very important that we do that.
And when I say my prayers at night, after I say my act of contrition for the day, I ask God to release the one soul from purgatory who is furthest from being released. And I know He'll do that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always important that we pray for the souls that have no one else to pray for them. And in particular, two souls that have no one else to pray for them. The soul in purgatory that has no one else to pray for them, because that soul may be in purgatory for many years simply because there's no one, and that soul may not have any more sins to purge than anyone else, but they have no one praying for them because their family didn't believe in purgatory or what have you. And also, the soul that is in danger of an unprovided death, that has no one to pray for them, that's a soul that's in a desperate, desperate condition.
Exactly.
That is a soul that is in peril because they're in danger of an unprovided death and they have no one praying for them. And we need to stand in the gap and pray for those souls. I think that's very important.
Exactly. And speaking of souls, why don't we talk about our saint of the day, which is Saint Casimir of Poland. Excuse me. He was born in Wawel Castle in Krakow. And let's see, somewhere I saw a year of birth. Oh, October 3rd, 1458. So he was a 15th century saint, and he only lived to be 25 years, by the way. He was the third child and the second son of the King of Poland and Grand Duke of Lithuania, Casimir IV, and Queen Elizabeth Habsburg of Austria. Apparently, Elizabeth was a loving mother and took active interest in her children's upbringing, which is kind of rare for the royals, any royal family in the 16th and 15th centuries.
Right.
And the queen and the children often accompanied the king in his annual trips to the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. Casimir was a polyglot and knew Lithuanian, Polish, German, and Latin languages. From the age of 9, Casimir and his brother Vladislaus were educated by the Polish priest, Father Dan Deglos. The boys were taught Latin and German, law, history, rhetoric, and classical literature. Deglos was a strict conservative teacher who emphasized ethics, morality, and religious devotion. According to Stanislaw Orzechowski, who lived from 1513 to 1566, the princes were subject to corporal punishment, which was approved by their father. Deglos noted Casimir's skills in oratory when he delivered speeches to greet his father returning to Poland in 1469, and Jacob Sienski, the Bishop of Kujawi in 1470. So Casimir's uncle, Ladislaus, the posthumous king of Hungary and Bohemia, died in 457 at the age of 17 without leaving an heir. Casimir's father subsequently advanced his claims to Hungary and Bohemia, but could not enforce them due to the 13-year war, which ran from 1454 to 1566, apparently inclusive. Instead, Hungarian nobles elected Matthias Corvinus, and Bohemian nobles selected George of Hudibrady as their kings. George died in March 1471. In May 1471, Vladislaus, eldest son of Casimir IV, was elected to the throne of Bohemia. However, a group of Catholic Bohemian nobles supported Matthias Corvinus instead of Vladislaus. In turn, a group of Hungarian nobles conspired against Matthias and invited the Polish king to overthrow him. King Casimir IV decided to install his son, Casimir, in Hungary. Poland amassed an army of 12,000 men commanded by Piotr Dunin and Zierzlaw of Rytwany. Both King Casimir and Prince Casimir participated in the campaign. In October of 1471, the Polish army crossed the Hungarian border and slowly marched towards Buda. Matthias Corvinus managed to win over the majority of the Hungarian nobles, including the main conspirator, Archbishop Janos Vitéz, and the Polish army did not receive the expected reinforcements. Only three families sent troops. Upon hearing that the Corvinus' army of 16,000 men camped outside of Pest, the Polish army decided to retreat from Hotwan to Nitra, and there the soldiers battled food shortages, spreading infectious diseases, and the upcoming winter. The Polish king also lacked the funds to pay the mercenaries. As a result, the Polish army decreased by about a third, and in December of 1471, Prince Casimir, who feared for his safety, was sent to Jihlava, which was closer to the Polish border, and that further eroded the soldiers' morale. A one-year truce was completed in March 1472 in Buda, and Prince Casimir returned to Krakow to resume his studies with Duclos. Duclos remarked that Prince Casimir felt great sorrow and shame regarding the failure in Hungary. That was until he discovered that Pope Sixtus, I think Sixtus IV, had opposed this march, and we got 90 seconds left. So anyway, Casimir was, he became the heir apparent to the throne of Poland. However, he was sent to exile in a castle, his father believing that the punishment would inspire him to be a great leader, and instead it inspired him to turn more and more to God. And he died on March 4th of 1484. Yes, 1484. So he was aged 25 years when he died. There have been many miracles ascribed to him over the years. Let's see. One of the miracles attributed to him was his appearance before the Lithuanian army during the siege of Polotsk in 1518. Casimir showed where Lithuanian troops could safely cross the Daugava River and relieve the city besieged by the army of the Grand Duchy of Moscow. Ferreri's hagiography of 1521 mentions many miracles of Casimir are known, but describes only one, a Lithuanian victory against the Russians. The description lacks specifics such as date or location, but most likely refers to the Lithuanian victory in 1519 against Russian troops that raided the environs of Vilnius, and not the more popular story of the siege of Polotsk. His official cult started spreading soon after his death. In 1501, Pope Alexander VI, citing his miracles as well as the splendor of the chapel where he was buried, granted a special indulgence to those who would pray in the chapel from one Vespers to another during certain Catholic festivals. In 1513, Andrzej Krzyzicki wrote a poem mentioning numerous wax votive offerings on Casimir's grave. In 1514, during the Fifth Council of the Lateran, Casimir's brother, Sigismund I, the Old, petitioned the Pope to canonize Casimir. In 1517, Pope Leo X appointed a three-bishop commission and later sent his legatee to Zacharias Ferreri to investigate. He arrived at Vilnius in September 1520 and completed his work in about 2 months. His findings, the first short hagiography of Casimir, was published in 1521 in Krakow as the Vita Beati Casimiri Confessoris, and the canonization was all but certain, but Leo X died in December 1521. Further research showed that there was no documentary proof that he issued a papal bull canonizing Casimir, but many important documents were lost during the 1527 sack of Rome. The cause of Casimir's cult was taken up by the new bishop of Vilnius, and he sent Canon Gregorius Swakicki to Rome with a letter from King Sigismund III Vasa requesting to add the Feast of Casimir to the Roman Breviary and Roman Missal. The Sacred Congregation of Rites refused the request, but on November 7th, Pope Clement VIII issued a papal brief, Quae ad Sanctorum, which authorized his feast, Sub Duplici Ritu, on the 4th of March, but only in Poland and Lithuania. The coffin of Casimir was taken out of the crypt and elevated to the altar. When it was opened in August 1604, a wonderful smell filled the cathedral for 3 days, and he was found to be incorrupt. However, later openings revealed only bones. Let's see. And Casimir was added to the Roman Breviary in March 1621 and added his feast sub Ritu Simplici. In March 1636, Pope Urban VIII allowed the celebration of the Feast of Casimir with an octave, duplex cum octava, in the Diocese of Vilnius and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. And that's equivalent of proclaiming Casimir as the patron saint of Lithuania. On the 28th of September 1652, Innocent X allowed a fest of transfer of relics of Casimir on a Sunday following the Assumption of Mary. And on 11th June 1948, when many Lithuanians were displaced war refugees, Pius XII named Casimir the special patron of Lithuanian youth. So I don't see where there is an actual date of canonization, but clearly he is accepted as a saint. And folks, we're about 5 or 6 minutes over, so I just want to remind you all to visit therockcompanyshop.com. I've spelled it for you many times. The T-H-E, rock, R-O-C-K, company, C-O-M-P-A-N-Y, shop, shop.com. Go ahead and order your Easter gifts for your family and friends, and order something for yourself, too. They got tons of great olive wood carvings and rosaries from the Holy Land. And I've told you how the top quality stuff, and I've told you how the olive wood was gotten and how it indeed came from the Holy Land. So visit our friends Tony and Paulette, and when you do, tell them their friends and your friends here at the Four Persons Network sent you. We don't get any remuneration of any kind, no discounts, no freebies, no money, and we wouldn't accept it if we did. We are simply helping people who are good friends of the network and who are in a bad situation through no fault of their own.
Amen.
So visit our friends, and when you do, tell them we love them. And you're going to love them, too. And with that, we're going to call it a day. And I want each of you to have a blessed rest of your Monday and a blessed Tuesday until I see you at 3:30. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
See you, John.
See you.